KansasBuildTrust.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
75 degrees in Topeka, 73 in Manhattan, 77 here in Lawrence. It's 6:06.
Poseidon Crisis Lifeline.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us this evening. We will have an update of news headlines in about 12 minutes. It's going to happen at 6:30. 6:36, we will get what we know and a lot of speculation about the things we don't know regarding a police shooting that took place in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday. Then, FDA advisors are meeting this week to consider easing restrictions on injectable peptide therapies. They're being marketed for wellness and longevity, despite very limited evidence that they're safe or effective. So why is the FDA giving it a green light? We'll talk about it coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Meadowlark Wine Bar and Kitchen, located at 1011 Massachusetts Street, offering a curated selection of traditional and natural wines, handcrafted cocktails, and a variety of shareable plates and entrees. More at MeadowlarkWineBar.com.
Following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR One station, stay tuned at 7 o'clock for Classics Live. Tonight, a Rural Joyce Doreen Morandi recital from this past year for saxophone and piano. Vince Ganoyak and Ellen Summer performing some Astor Piazzolla. Also, some variations on the Carnival of Venice. It's coming your way tonight at 7 on your KPR1 stations. If you're joining us on KPR2 at 7 o'clock, we will have Prairie Journal, followed at 8 by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson. It's 75 degrees in Topeka, 73 in Manhattan, 77 in Lawrence, 75 in Atchison, and it is 6:20.
Support for
the important thing is her job.
That story tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR station's Morning Edition is the show with the latest national, international, and regional news first thing in the morning.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing backup power such as automatic standby generators and backup battery systems for businesses and homes that can be used during storm season. More at CromwellSolar.com.
News headlines coming up next. It is 76 degrees in Emporia, 75 in Atchison. It is 6:30.
Fed program says it will continue to provide nutrition education through other initiatives. State and local organizations have until the end of September to spend any remaining SNAP Ed money.
You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The Republican District Attorney of Sedgwick County, Mark Bennett, says he is against the proposed amendment to change the way state Supreme Court justices are selected. Now, the chair of the Kansas GOP is pushing back. Kansas State House reporter Zach Boblett has more.
Republican Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett is against the August 4th constitutional amendment that would replace the Supreme Court nominating commission with direct elections. Bennett says the change would politicize the courts. He also questioned whether elected justices would have ruled to desegregate schools in the 1950s. Kansas Republican Party Chair Denedre Herbert, who is black, called that suggestion deeply offensive to Kansans and urged voters to approve the amendment. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
A Kansas man wrongfully convicted of killing his infant nephew has won a lawsuit against the state. Christopher Dale Lyman will receive more than $614,000 from the state after spending more than 9 years in prison. Lyman's conviction was overturned earlier this year for two reasons: an inadequate legal defense and prosecutors withholding evidence about an expert's qualifications. The state will not retry the case. Deputy Attorney General Robert Hutchison says prosecutors still think their case was legally sound.
We believe there was still adequate evidence under the law that he had committed the crime.
Despite this, Hutchison says family members of the deceased child think Lyman did not commit the crime. The state will pay nearly $500,000 in attorney fees and provide Lyman with health care and tuition assistance. Big Boy, the world's largest operating steam locomotive, passed through Lawrence on its cross-country tour this morning. KPR's Matthew Algio reports.
The 85-foot-long, 380-ton locomotive pulled into North Lawrence around 10:30 and stopped for about 10 minutes. Despite a light rain, some 200 people lined the tracks to take pictures and pose for selfies. Among them, Rick Anderson of Lawrence.
A lot bigger standing up next to it than you see, than it looks like in the pictures. And the whistle is really loud. This is great, great, massive machine.
Big Boy will spend Thursday night in Salina before continuing its journey west through Wilson, Hayes, and Grainfield. For KPR News, I'm Matthew Algio.
A service that offers free late-night rides to University of Kansas students is resuming. The Safe Ride program was canceled for the 2025-26 school year due to budget cuts, but the Lawrence Times reports the program will return this fall. Safe Ride is funded through student fees. The Student Senate recently voted to restore funding for that program. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
This week on Prairie Journal, the story of two remarkable Kansas women and the fight to save a Native American cemetery in KCK.
I have tried to save the cemetery from being desecrated by law, and now I will take care of it myself, law or no law.
Lyda Conley and the fight to preserve Huron Indian Cemetery on Prairie Journal, 7 o'clock Thursday evening on KPR2.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, lots of other frequencies too, all listed for you at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. We will have about 11 minutes more of All Things Considered. Then if you're joining us on KPR One at 7:01, it's Classics Live, followed by more classical music. Then at 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night, featuring music from the vinyl vault. If you're joining us on KPR Two, as Kay McIntyre just told you, it's Prairie Journal at 7 o'clock, followed by The Middle, featuring Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
70% chance of showers and storms tonight, lows in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, nearly a 100% chance of rain, mostly in the morning, slight chance of storms, very humid. Highs in the lower 80s.
Support for KPR comes from Riverette Print and Skate, a source for custom promotional products such as t-shirts, stickers, and more. Available to discuss print projects at its North Lawrence location. Quotes online at riverettks.com.
It's 10 minutes before 7. This is KPR.
You can watch the full conversation with Hrishikesh Hirway on YouTube or the NPR app by searching for NPR Wildcard. Hirway's new album, In the Last Hour of Light, is out now.
Support for Wildcard with Rachel Martin comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station And from Progressive Insurance, now hiring for virtual and hybrid employment, offering opportunities for professional development and career progression. Position details can be found at careers.progressive.com. From Procter & Gamble, maker of Metamucil, made with psyllium, a plant-based fiber that helps support digestive health by trapping and removing waste, designed to be taken every day. Learn more at Metamucil.com. And from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, RWJF is a national philanthropy working toward a future where health is no longer a privilege, but a right. Learn more at rwjf.org. This is NPR.
With another death confirmed this week among U.S. troops in the Middle East, we hear a report about how military families are faring. That's on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR station's Morning Edition is the program. Matthew Alchio will be your local host.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, providing peer counseling, advocacy, and independent living skills training to promote individual choice to persons with disabilities. Details at rcilinc.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. Up next, we have Classics Live. At 9 o'clock tonight, we have Jazz in the Night. Lots of great music coming up here on KPR. We're live, we're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Stoneback Appliance in Lawrence, featuring new and used appliances from Maytag, Whirlpool, and more for over 50 years. Information about appliance sales and repairs at StonebackAppliance.com.
August 4th is primary election day in Kansas, each party choosing its candidates for governor in the U.S. Senate. A crowded field, but you can hear the candidates in their own words. We ask them to tell KPR listeners why they want your vote. Hear their responses right now at kansaspublicradio.org.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, saving you a seat here in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts for a very interesting and fun saxophone recital with everything from Danny Boy to some tangos, featuring longtime professor of saxophone at KU, Vince Ganoyak, with his KU colleague of collaborative piano, Ellen Summer. First, Dr. Ganoyak tells us a little bit about the history of the saxophone.
As a boy in early 19th century Belgium, Adolf Sax was hit on the head by a brick. He also swallowed a needle, fell down a flight of stairs, toppled onto a burning stove, and accidentally drank some sulfuric acid. When he grew up, he invented the saxophone. Only a child that familiar with adversity, contend critics of the saxophone, could have foisted such a contraption on an unsuspecting world. In about 1842 is when Adolf Sax invented the saxophone as a hybrid instrument. It's conical in shape, and it's made of brass, but it has pads that cover these tone holes, and it uses a woodwind mouthpiece and a reed to get the sound. So it actually is a woodwind instrument, not a brass instrument. He invented it as a middle voice in the woodwind family, and he intended that it would be played in symphony orchestras as well as concert bands. It never really quite took off in the symphony orchestras. There are saxophone solos now and then. He had wanted it to be that, so he invented a family in the keys of C and F for the orchestra, and another set of family in B flat and E flat for use in bands. And that's the family that we have with us today, is B flat and E flat instruments. The saxophone came over to this country right around the turn of the century. And that was a time when there was a lot going on over here, and particularly the very early start of jazz music. And so saxophone caught on right away because it was much louder than a clarinet or something like that. So a lot of people went, wow, this is cool. And it has been a leading voice in jazz and popular music for many, many years. The saxophone is the newest member of the woodwind family, and it is without question the most versatile of all the wind instruments. The program I have prepared for you today contains several different styles of music for the saxophone, and I hope there is something for everyone in the audience. The first piece on today's program was composed by French composer Paul Maurice, who taught at the Paris Conservatory for several years. She composed this suite for the famous French saxophonist Marcel Moore, who is also teaching at the conservatory. It is a suite with beautiful melodies and intricate rhythms that portray five different regions in southern France. The first movement is a girl's dance modeled after the farandole, a popular folk dance in Provence. The second movement is Song for My Love, not really an affirmative statement of love, but questioning, will she love me? The opening notes are the open strings of the guitar. The gypsy girl in the third movement is beautiful, with a fiery, almost snarling side of her personality. The Sighing Souls of Aliscon conveys a tree-lined dirt path bordered with Gallo-Roman tombs. The opening notes of the saxophone are a mournful sigh, like the wind blowing through the trees. Written just after the death of a friend, it is the first movement to be composed for this suite and is seminal for the entire suite. Le Cabernet is the large bee of the southern region of France. Listen at the end when the bee finally flies quickly away. Tableau de Provence.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ordinarily, in a recital, we would have a chance to go off stage and catch our breath and mess around with the reed and the mouthpiece and all that stuff. Well, we don't really have time to do that, so I just have to do it right here in front of you. Sorry. So I have been playing the alto saxophone, and I brought along the soprano saxophone as well. And the soprano saxophone, they do make curved ones that are very cute. They're a little tiny, you know. But that kind of changed the sound of the saxophone a little bit to have all those curves in it. So they started making them straight, and it really has a more even sound and projects a little bit better. Some people think it projects too much better. So I hope that's not the case today. But it could be. Soprano is very high in pitch, and it's difficult to play, but it's a lot of fun as well. The most recent piece on today's program, And Everything Is Still, was composed by saxophonist Andy Scott, who gives these words at the beginning of the piece, gentle and spacious with poise. So I hope I can do it with poise. And everything is still.
Thank you.
Certainly one of the most prolific and popular Argentinian composers was Astor Piazzolla. These are two of his six tango etudes written originally for the flute. They are difficult rhythmically and technically, with beautiful melodic sections and several moments for artistic interpretation and nuance. I will be playing only the first two of the three listed, but in reverse order, number four followed by number three.
Thank you.
It's always such a pleasure working with Ellen. She's just a terrific musician, and she accompanies everybody, and she can play anything, you know? I mean, she's just absolutely remarkable. So it's a pleasure to be on the same stage as Ellen Summer. Okay, it's time to swab out again, sorry. I think all saxophone players just mess with stuff a lot, all the time. Reeds, ligatures, saxophones, you know, whatever, straps, you know. Anyway, composed by Australian composer Percy Aldrich Granger, Irish tune from County Derry is one of the most beautiful melodies, and you will recognize it as the song Danny Boy. Granger was not only a fan of British folk music, but was also a huge fan of the saxophone. In many of his wind band arrangements and compositions, he included as many as 6 different saxophones, from the soprano all the way down to the bass. Percy moved to the United States in 1914 and taught at a few different universities. He was a conductor at the University of Kansas Midwestern Music Camp for a few years in the 1960s. At that time, he brought this piece, arranged for wind band, and it became the closing song for every music camp since then. This is Irish Tune from County Derry. Thank you. I have one more piece to play for you. And I thought, probably I have not played enough notes. So I wanted to play something that had quite a few more. Saxophonists just do that, you know? I don't know what it is. We're all addicted to playing a lot of notes all the time. So anyway, to close my recital, I have chosen a version of The Carnival of Venice by Jules Demersman, who is one of the earliest composers of saxophone music in France. This particular one is arranged by American saxophonist Fred Hemke, who was the saxophone teacher at Northwestern University for many, many years, and he just passed away recently. So this is Carnival of Venice. Okay.
Thank you.
What a fun saxophone recital here in the Polsky Theater at Johnson County Community College. Ending with the showpiece, Introduction and Variation on the Carnival of Venice. Playing the alto saxophone, and there for a little bit the soprano sax, it was Professor Emeritus of Saxophone at KU, Vince Ganoyak, with pianist Ellen Summer, who is head of the Collaborative Piano Department at the KU School of Music. Thanks for joining us for this Doreen Morande professional recital here in the Midwest Trust Center. JCCC offers a series of these free concerts on most Mondays at noon during the spring and fall semesters. Chuck Smith, one of KPR's recording engineers, recorded the show for Classics Live, which is our weekly show that brings the best in live and local concerts to you. I'm Cordelia Brown, your Classics Live producer. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. A KPR recording made in the summer of 2025, featuring the strings of the Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra, with special guest conductor Joanne Folletta. That was Gustav Holst's St. Paul's Suite. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the Kansas State Fiddlin' and Pickin' Championships, presenting Don Flemons of the Carolina Chocolate Drops in Lawrence South Park, Sunday, August 23rd. More info at fidpick.org.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, we report on history as we know it and as it's happening. Connect the latest headlines back to the past every morning on NPR.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. On the web at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The U.S. military announced a 13th night of strikes against Iran as clashes escalate over shipping routes. U.S. Central Command say the strikes are designed to degrade Iran's ability to threaten commercial vessels. President Trump announced today the U.S. would pay for any Iranian attacks on cargo ships by using frozen Iranian assets. Earlier, Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi rebels said they attacked two Saudi oil tankers in the Red Sea, potentially widening the conflict. The U.S. and Saudi Arabia have signed an agreement that would allow U.S. companies to build and run nuclear power plants on Saudi soil. But just hours after that deal, President Trump wrote on social media that Saudi Arabia would first need to join the Abraham Accords, normalizing ties with Israel. Still, the development is worrying many Israelis, as NPR's Emily Feng reports.
There was shock when this agreement was announced, even horror. Israel, I should know, is widely believed to have nuclear weapons already itself, but it's never confirmed its nuclear arsenal, and they don't want other countries around it to have a nuclear weapon. They're worried that this slightly more flexible conditions of the U.S.-Saudi agreement could set off a nuclear arms race across the region.
NPR's Emily Feng reporting. The World Bank says last month's earthquakes in Venezuela caused $19.6 billion in damage. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has more.
In a statement, the World Bank says that the earthquakes disrupted lives, damaged critical infrastructure, and created new challenges for Venezuela's economic recovery. It says it could take more than 10 years to rebuild unless there's more public and private investment to speed that up. The World Bank says that 47% of the total damage occurred in residential buildings, so getting temporary housing for Venezuelans is a priority for the early recovery. There was also damage to infrastructure and non-residential buildings. The coastal city of La Guaira was the hardest hit, with buildings flattened along miles of coastline. The official death toll is well above 5,000 and still going up. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The man who admitted to shooting and killing a Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband has received two life sentences plus 40 years, Minnesota Public Radio's Kate Kelly reports.
Vance Belter murdered former Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark. Belter also shot and injured a state senator and his wife and planned attacks on more Democratic lawmakers. The courtroom was packed. Some members of the public and the press cried during testimony. Melissa Hortman's mother, Linda Halipsuk, says Minnesota lost a leader and she lost her baby.
It's over, but it's never over. And, well, you know, she was a force and her husband was a wonderful man, and the world is a poorer place without them both.
Belter pleaded guilty to avoid the death penalty. For NPR News, I'm Kate Kelly in Minneapolis.
This is NPR News.
Can expel enough gas to make several stars as massive as the Sun. An example is Antares, the leading light of Scorpius. It's in good view tonight, to the left of the moon as night falls. Antares is a supergiant, one of the biggest and brightest stars in the galaxy.
It's more than a dozen times the sun's mass, and it's so big that if you placed it at the center of the solar system, it would extend past the orbit of Mars. But when Antares was born, about 11 million years ago, it was even heavier. Studies in recent years have placed its initial mass at about 15 to 17 times the sun's mass. Most of the difference has been blown into space on the star's winds. Antares has lost so much of its original weight because it was heavy to begin with. A massive star burns through its nuclear fuel quickly, making its core extremely hot. Radiation from the core causes the star's outer layers to puff outward. That far from the core, the surface gravity is fairly low, so it's easy for radiation to push gas out into space. Antares is fated to expel even more of its mass. At the end of its life, its core will collapse, causing its outer layers to explode as a supernova, blasting most of its remaining gas out into the galaxy. We have more sky watching tips and much more about the cosmos in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. I'm Billy Henry.
The king of the short solo piano piece, Nobody Can Touch Chopin. Am I right? Here's his Berceuse. Lullaby by Frédéric Chopin, performed with subtlety and grace by Arthur Rubinstein. Made me a little sleepy, to tell you the truth. I guess that's the sign of a good lullaby. Here's some more sleeping kind of music, going back to a dream that the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge had in 1797. After taking some opium, he had a dream about Xanadu. I'll tell you the rest of that story afterwards. This is called The Pleasure Dome of Kubla Khan. The great Joanne Faletta, leading the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, The Pleasure Dome of Kubla Khan by Charles Tomlinson Griffiths. What is the context for such a title, I hear you asking? As of course you know, Kubla Khan was the first emperor of the Mongol dynasty. The music by Griffiths was inspired by a poem about Kubla Khan by the great Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Taylor Coleridge took some opium one night, had this really intense dream about Kubla Khan's capital city, Xanadu. As you do, he woke up and said, "What was that all about?" and wrote the poem the next morning. He wrote it in 1797, but didn't publish it for another 20 years. That's one heck of an opium buzz, my friend. And Griffith's music was based off the poem. Here is the Flute Concerto by American composer Lowell Lieberman. It was commissioned by Sir James Galway. It was dedicated to Sir James Galway, and here it is being performed by, you guessed it, Sir James Galway. It's just all about him, isn't it? Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir James Galway playing pretty much all the notes, I think. I think he got them all into that one. I'll always love James Galway because he featured on the soundtrack to Amadeus. Anyone on that record is always in the golden page of my mind. Lowell Lieberman wrote that flute concerto he was also conducting. James Galway with the London Mozart Players. We're headed to the old lime tree, coming up next. Thank you. Well, that was just beyond gorgeous. Spellbinding is what it was. Christina Varlid performing The Old Lime Tree, Russian folklore tune by Sergei Rudnev. How do you like to get to work? Do you drive? Take the bus? Or maybe you walk? For over a year in the mid-1950s, African-American residents of the city of Montgomery boycotted buses and walked to work instead. It cost the public transit system between 30,000 and 40,000 fares a day, about $2.5 billion in today's money. And it inspired Margaret Bonds to write this music, based on the hymn, I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. We're walking with Margaret this hour. Thank you. not many composers can say they invented an entire genre of music. Scott Joplin is one of them. That had to feel pretty good. That's Benjamin Loeb performing The Chrysanthemum by the King of Ragtime himself, Scott Joplin. What were your chosen coping strategies during the COVID pandemic? I got up at 3:30 and wrote music until 6:30 when the kids woke up. That kept me sane until roughly the late afternoon. Then I turned into a basket case. The artist RZA found an old notebook of lyrics he'd written while growing up as a teenager on Staten Island, New York. He turned it into a work called A Ballet Through Mud during COVID, which feels somehow appropriate for that time. He says, mud is dirty, but out of the mud grows the lotus, and the lotus flower is the symbol of enlightenment. Christopher Dragon leading the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, Freedom of Movement, a movement from A Ballet Through Mud by the artist RZA. Here's Rhapsody in Black with Vernon Neal.
Welcome to Your Classical's Rhapsody in Black from APM, where we turn up the voices of Black artists in the world of classical music. I'm Vernon Neal. Representation is a vital part of the fight for equity in the arts. If we want to live in a world that's more fair and equitable, we need to make sure that everyone has their chance to shine. That is, if you see someone who looks like you doing something you're interested in, you're more likely to try it too. People of color now make up about 21% of orchestra players nationwide. That's according to a study by the League of American Orchestras in 2023. But the study found that the share of Black players barely shifted, rising to 2.4% from 1.5%. According to composer Omar Thomas, that low percentage of representation extends to the repertoire. Omar said, in all his years playing in concert bands, he never got to play music that celebrated Black traditions. So as a composer, he writes music he wished he could have played. Those pieces speak directly to the issues of representation, social consciousness, and liberation. Of Our New Day Begun is a piece by Thomas that honors the 9 people killed in an act of domestic terrorism in 2015 at Mother Emmanuel, the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. He said the music is rooted in the Black American church tradition, and though it begins in tragedy, you can hear an arc toward hope for the future. The anchor of the piece is the Black national anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. A song that has served as a cry for liberation and affirmation for all Black people. That includes those in the LGBTIQA+ communities. And as an openly gay man, Thomas has written numerous works to tell their stories. He tried to make an It Gets Better video several times for a video contest, but decided his message would be delivered best in musical form. His piece titled We Will Know ends with a movement that rehashes the elation and mania felt nationwide when President Obama became the first sitting president to publicly support same-sex marriage. The music eventually comes to a calm and ends with a reimagining of Charles Albert Tinsley's iconic civil rights song, We Shall Overcome. More recently, Thomas wrote A Mother of a Revolution to celebrate the bravery of trans women, specifically Marsha Pay It No Mind Johnson, one of the instigators of the famous Stonewall Uprising of June 28, 1969. It's music that honors the legacy and memory of trans lives lost to violence and lifts up trans women worldwide who continue to exist unapologetically and who demand to be seen. This is Rhapsody in Black from APM, with technical assistance from Michael Osborne and support from Julie Yamacher, Elizabeth Iverson, Andrea Blaine, Kevin O'Connor, and Scott Blankenship. You can hear more on yourclassical.org or download episodes wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Vernon Neal.
As Vernon said, composer Omar Thomas wrote music to honor 9 people who died just over 11 years ago while worshiping at Mother Emmanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina. At first, Thomas couldn't figure out how to write about this tragedy. He was feeling all this pain and anger, while at the same time he was very moved watching the victims' families demonstrate forgiveness and grace. And then he realized his best move was to put all those feelings into the music, both sides of the equation. Here's his piece, Of Our New Day Begun.